Okay, we're in the sugya. Are you allowed to appoint a person a shliach over the telephone? Rachman Litzlan, a person wants to give a get. So the first thing in the laws of Gittin is they go down to the proceedings. He sits down there and he appoints the soifer. I hereby authorize you to be my agent in writing the get. That is critical. You must appoint. So can you appoint a shliach to a person to write a get over the telephone? For that matter, any mitzvah which must be done by you, can you do so? So we learned yesterday, according to, I don't remember the names, basically yes. There's absolutely no issue whatsoever. You can do it. Okay, so I'm missing the first two lines, but let's just start in the middle, in the top of the page. Shemokim shab shahabal shol merav shemokim u'isho imrotzon u'isho sheyizku get ba'ado. Okay, so in the middle of the paragraph, I'm not exactly sure what this means. V'hu meishev kishemiratzis u'mevakeshes sheyecholim liskois get ba'ado sherei hi kimosh hi kimi shaymedes b'foneinu u'mevakeshes liskois get ba'ado ach harav shemokim habal lo yiniach melesader haget ad yom hamachwa sheyachzor hachashash v'mokoymo shema chozhebo. Maybe he changed his mind. Ela yigma achshav. Okay, I'm not sure what this paragraph means. Let's go to the next paragraph. Next paragraph is omnam. Omnam. Okay, it's the second paragraph on the top of the page. Top of the page where it says, Omnam b'shut beis Yitzchak. Nira. Yitzchak Yehuda Shmelkes. It's a beis Yitzchak. Nira. He's about how long ago? A long time ago. Nira shemuchach shesoifer shleimoyel minu ha-soifer al yidei telephone. He disagrees. He proves mechiyach shesoifer. He proves that in his opinion, shleimoyel minu ha-soifer al yidei telephone. He does not approve of allowing a person to appoint an agent through the telephone. Why? Mibnei she'ein ze shmias kol mamish. The al yidei ze k'mo besugin. Mibnei shelo nikar tviyas the caller all the telephone. It's not noticeable. You cannot detect the tzias ayin of the call through the telephone. Sharei le'inyan im o isha tuchal limnos shliach lekabala al yidei telephone. What about can a woman go appoint a shliach lekabala to accept it? That he says kosav sham lahat b'mokam sheish chas shetir shetop tipo lifnei yavon katan. What's the logic of this leniency? That was he's saying over here, Chiddush, that when it comes to the husband appointing an agent to write a get, that cannot be done through a telephone. But when a woman appoints an agent to receive the get, that can be done through the telephone. So the obvious question is, what is the difference? What's the difference between the two? Sharei shehu shayosha shayochol hashliach lahakir kol shel isha medaver selov v'yafim ein ze shmias kol ma. לכתוב שדבר שדבר התירו בזה הוא מבנה ששליח לקבול מספיק בכזוס וגם כן דווקא בהצרוך השני עדים שימדו על יודך באש שמדברס וכן על ידי השליח השמע ואם כן נלמה מזה שלגם ממינו הבעל צורך שמיעס כל הממשקה. I don't know what he's saying. He's saying over here, I don't know what he's saying. He's saying over here, there's some difference between the appointment of the shliach lekabola over the appointment of the husband. The rules,
recognizes his wife's voice. He has a greater relation.
No, but it's an entirely different.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's not.
That he knows who he's talking
about. But he's not talking about his wife. He's talking
about the shliach. That's what
he does. He's appointing an agent. She is appointing an agent to be mekabel the get. She's not talking to the husband. I don't know. He just saying he seems to be saying is that the minui for kabolas haget is much more lenient than the minui of writing the get. When you write the get, there it has to actually represent you. It has to be lishma.
By writing a letter?
What?
Can you appoint a shliach by writing a letter?
No, it seems not. It seems you have to actually tell them.
Both sides.
I don't know the answer. I don't know. It seems not. It seems that to appoint the shliach, you have to actually be a dibur. There must be a real dibur. By Kabbalah, so he's saying in general that the whole appointment of an isha to accept the get is a davar kal. It's not the rules are not as strict because you don't need. You don't. I think maybe also, if let's say Nikarad, can you force and can you divorce a woman against her will? To put it, let's look at it from that perspective. Nikarad, yes, that says it all. So therefore, you don't need her consent. If you put the get in her reshus, Meikarad in
to her.
What?
Right.
Let's say you put the get in her reshus. Right. Let's say you put the get, it's enough. So therefore, since though, so as long as the get will ultimately be brought to her, it comes into her, she acknowledges that she's getting it, she acknowledges somehow there's an acknowledgement that she's getting it, that is sufficient. There's not a real shlichus when it comes to her appointing someone to receive the get. It's more of a gilui das. When it comes to a husband writing the get, he has to write the get. If you want someone to be your representative, you must appoint him for real. Anisha doesn't have to accept the get for real. She doesn't. She it has to come into her reshus. It's not a matter. It's not a personal matter.
And the shliach lekabul is a reshus.
Yeah, to some degree, that's what the Beis Yitzchak seems to be saying. Is that the whole perp, the whole mechanism, the whole technique of receiving a get is much more lenient than writing the get, because receiving the get just means the get comes into her reshus, and the ikar hadin, you do not need her das. But writing the get has to be done with an appointment, and therefore the rules of the husband appointing a shliach are much more common than the rules of the isha. I think when he wrote this, video did not yet exist. You have to look at when the Beis Yitzchak lived.
A telescope? No.
But I think what he means a photographia. If let's say you'll have video conferencing, I know one of the RJJ journals, there's actually an article about giving a get through video conferencing. And I didn't read it, I just remember this one of the topics, but here he actually talks about this. He's writing this in a time when it seemingly did not yet exist, and he's predicting the day will come when this, and they'll call it Skype. The day will come when there'll be video conferencing. Oz yia b'yoyse noka lahat eshlich lekabol aidei hamukhune hanal avul shlich shal baal lo hitir. He's never matur a shlich for the baal to write through video conferencing or through telephone. He holds that it's usher, it's a real minui shlichus, which must be the ponim el ponim. You have to hear the actual voice, not the sound waves. But the isha, to be makabel, that is only a gili das, and therefore if there's circumstantial evidence that she really wants the Kabbalah, and you have either telephone with witnesses, or you have even we have video conferencing, he holds that is a different type of Kabbalah, and it is much more lenient. Okay, let's go to the next topic. Next topic is Eidus Shenemer B'Kaletes. Eidus that's set on a tape. Testimony. So B'Shut Ahalei Aharoin Kosaf Hagoin Rab Chaim Bibulin Sheke Shaimim based in Kol Eidus Mikoletes B'Gramophone. Okay, a recording. If the person cannot come to court, it's too difficult to come to court, so therefore they put their testimony on a record, on a CD, on a tape, a magnetic tape, on some type of a flash drive, and they deliver it to the court, and the court listens to the testimony. Sha'oi me Ruben ani meid b'toras edus k'mur, I, Ruben, testify, the edus k'mura sh'shimon haloive mona levi, that Shimon the land borrower, sh'shimon hilve mona levi, that Shimon lent the mona levi, nira sh'ein b'edusu k'lom, this is nothing. We do not accept this whatsoever. This goes back to what we mentioned yesterday. Even though we may be very lenient when it comes to aguna, maybe we can be lenient when it comes to aminu shlichus, but when it comes to be moitzi mamon, then we do not rely upon records, upon sound. Tvias kol, you don't know, upon recognition of the voice. The afla ha-soivim sh'moitzin, that we do extract, we go to the left side. Einz ela be'edim sh'shamu ha'idas ha'loive l'malve sh'chayev lo, sh'al ze moil tvias sayin shel kol. Even if you go and tell me there is a situation when we do listen, it's only in a situation where the borrower admits. The witnesses hear the sound. They don't see him saying it, but they hear his voice. They hear him talking in the other room. room and they hear him say, I confess, I admit that I owe $1,000 to Shimon. So if they actually, in that case, there are grounds to be lenient to say that since they recognize the voice of Reuven and they heard Reuven say that I owe money, that will be enough in order to force Reuven to later pay the money to Shimon. But if we're not hearing it directly from Reuven, we're hearing it from a witness, from a third party, a witness who says, I was present when Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, and I know that he owes it, and that even that we don't have, we only know that through the recognition of this voice recognition, that is not enough. So this is what you're talking about. Your point that you mentioned is that when it comes to testimony, you can write down your testimony on paper and you can send it to the Beis Din. Gramophone. You can't compare writing to our record of voice. Ki be'edus shebuchsav ein o edus nigmeres ad shemagia ksav lebezdin the ad oz until then yochol hashaleach lachzor bo ulvatel eduso al yidei shaliach. If you put your edus in writing and you deliver it, you can always mevatel the edus until the very last moment. Ve'ilu begramophone achar hakaletes ha edus shuv ein biyodel lachzor bo. But if you are saying in the tape, I don't know what the difference is. You can no longer go back on it. Doesn't seem to make a difference. Doesn't seem to make sense. I don't understand what he's saying. I don't know. Kach pasach gam b'shut mishnah halachos she'adam shehivi b'lebes adin l'kletes bo hashem es Reuven moed shchayim l'bam l'shimon she'ein lismech al kach af imevi hoychachos shezehu koloi. Yeah, but on a piece of paper, you honestly, you write your testimony on a piece of paper.
I understand the logic should be the same, but
I don't know. Okay, then he brings down from the Mishnah halachas, he holds halacha lemaisa, it's unacceptable. There's no such thing. This is a new chiddush. We don't have such a thing in halacha. It's a new technology where you can record a sound and you can deliver the sound to Beis Din. We only have a precedent where you can write down testimony and deliver it to Beis Din.
What about the records where you can't erase? Whatever.
Well, you can't erase it on a piece of paper.
Oh, what? You can lose the paper.
You can lose it, but it's saying on a record.
On a record that you can erase.
So since you can erase it, that's why you can move outlet. But when you say something on a tape, on a certain type of tape, on a certain type of record where you cannot erase it.
We used to have records.
But you can't erase it. So those type of records that you can no longer erase, you're saying that in that case it's worse. Okay, I hear the swara. When you go and you write something, so since you can erase it, let's say you would write down your testimony on a piece of paper, you can't erase it. Why can you erase it? All right, let's leave it. Bottom line over here is he paskins. The bottom line over here is the halacha lemaisa. We learn a yisoid that when it comes to court, you want to deliver testimony. You learn to deliver testimony. Put your testimony in writing, that is acceptable. If you want to put your testimony on a voice recorder, it seems the consensus is it's not valid. Now, you should know, halachas kama today, when the same way you can Photoshop images, I mean, you can Photoshop sound, it's even much easier. They can even take your voice and they can reproduce your voice. The technology today is so advanced.
You can make my voice sound
like. Yeah. Yeah, they can. I mean, they have a lot of things online. Where you ever go online with text to speech, type in Google text to speech, and they give you a choice of 100 different types of sounds: a British accent, an American accent, Canadian accent, Russian accent, any language you want. It'll also translate it for you. GPSs, and then also you can adjust the pitch, the tone, the speed. I mean, what we can do today with the technology is aimless shire. So the halachas kama kama person goes and he puts on a voice recorder testimony that Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. It's nonsense. Right. Anyone can go on the computer Bizman Hazeh and go and recreate someone's voice.
That's good for me. I go to Ayin Wahab and they play me a record what I said.
A record?
I said, that's not me.
It's been photoshopped.
It could be forged.
Yes, it's forgery. You're inviting forgery. So therefore, alachas kama kama over here. When this was written, when these shuvas were written, you were not able to forge. But bismanas they can be forged. Okay, let's go to the next sugi. The next sugi is nusach birchas hamosni kishyesh bebayis goyim Avodim Oinoshim. If you have in your home, you say in the Harachamans, or you say in the Nusach, Yivkein Yivorech Hosan Kuloni Yachad, Bevrocha Shalema V'Neimar Amen. At the end of Birchas HaMazon, after you recite the four brachos, we recite multiple Harachamans. And in one of those paragraphs it says, Kein Yivorech, may you bless us, Kulonu Yachad, all of us together, Bevrocha Shalema V'Neimar Amen. If you're sitting at a Kratzmach party in your office with Santa Claus and the reindeer, so do you also want to say, and the Galach is also there, do you want to go say over here, Kulonu Yachat, all of us together, Bevrach Hashem V'Nomar Amen, are you allowed to say Shnusach? So what do you do over here? So Kosav HaMogin Avram. So what do we do in a situation where what?
The headlights from. It says, Goyim, Avodim,
Oinoshim. Let's see what it says.
No,
it's not Yachat.
You just set up a voicemail.
Let's see. You don't want to be too close to women. Let's see. You're not looking for trouble. Let's see what it says over here. Ulam, so this, Kabinusach, Bechas Amazin, Kenya, Bechas Amazin, Bechas Amazin, Kas Amogin Avram. Shem Yesh Bebeis Akum Noegim Loimar Kein Yivarech Osanu Kulonu Yachad Bnei Bris. Okay, so you're supposed to change the Nusach Bnei Bris Yachad, all of us Bnei Bris. We're all members of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bris. Let's see what it says. Ulam Hevi B'Shem Atas She'ein Nochon Linoi Kein Shekevan Shama Kulonu Yachad. It's already too late. Kulonu Yachad Hakol Bechlal. Vein Mol Masha Amar Bnei Bris. Bnei Bris not accomplish anything. Eli Yomar Osanu Bnei Bris Kulonu Yachad. First, put the Bnei Bris before you say the word Yachad. So it will modify the meaning of Yachad, and not exactly all the same. Kiloimar Shabrocha Tochul Rak Al Bnei Bris V'Loy Al Akum. Ooh, so it means over here when he say Bnei Bris, he means that the bracha should only be for the Bnei Bris. The bracha should not be for the Goyim. The Atal Lufi Shosor Levorech Akum Dersiv Lo Sichonim. The Torah says he may not bless a non-Jew. Lo Sichonim. Name, do not show them favor. Do not grant favoritism to non-Jews for no reason. The chonem is loshon chinam. Give them something for nothing, and therefore it is forbidden. It is forbidden to say this nusach when goyim are present. Let's say we have a mumer, we have a Jew who has left the fold. We're dealing with a mumer that does it in spite. Umi sheyotzel min haklal havei kelachas. The person is in haklal yotzel lachas. Misim devar kosav avod Avram sheshlumo misugin shenoshim ba'avodim haklal b'nei bris heim. So here's the answer to your question. So the answer to your question over here is that if you're going to say b'nei bris and there are noshim present, so maybe noshim are not going to be included. You're coming to exclude them from the blessing. If you're at a table and we have your wife and your daughters, and there are goyim, and you don't want to include the goyim in the bracha because of the violation of lo sichonim, and you're going to say, to solve the problem, you say, kulanu b'nei bris yachat. Only the people who are b'nei bris. That way you're excluding the goy. You look at the goy, not you. Ken yivorech usanu b'nei bris yachad b'vracha shalema. Not you, the guy. But by saying the B'nai Bris, you're also excluding your wife and your daughters. You don't want to do that. You want to include them. So the answer is not a kasha. Just because it says Bris does not necessarily mean Bris Mila. It means the covenant. It means we're all part of the bigger, the whole Klal Yisrael, and there is no problem. Okay, next. If there's an apikoris in your home, yesh loimar B'nai Bris, you could say B'nai Bris, u'biyash shekol ha'minig loimar B'nai Bris, you should say B'nai Bris. Exclude the apikoris. Ein el mishum u'biyash shekol ha'minig loimar B'nai Bris, ein el mishum akum. It's not because of the goy. So the nusach should then be, may you bless us just like you blessed our forefathers. And once you mention avoseinu, obviously you are excluding the non-Jews, because the non-Jews do not have the same forefathers. We don't say Seinu. Obviously, when Chazal composed the Nusach B'nei Bris, it was meant for Mumorim as well. It's not just meant for Goyim, it's meant to exclude Apikarsim. Muchach Shein HaKavon Lohitzi Yasa Umos Mechlal Bracha Elo Iko B'zehu Lohitzi Yasa Mumorim Mechlal Bracha Ulechein Oymim Kulon Yachad. We say all of us together Uma Shematim Ha'Oymim B'nei Bris Al Karchach Ein Ze Elo Mishum B'nei Avoy Seinu Shehemiru. It's coming to exclude Goyim, exclude Jews which left the fold, the Einam B'nei Bris Torah, period. Omnam Ayin Shom Shekosam Shemikomokam Heim B'nei Bris Mila Ve'erich B'loshan Lodun Al Bris Mila Shenasa Al Yidei Mumer. Alright, let's see that. Ulam, however, not so simple. B'shuchner Charaaf Kosav Shehamumer B'chlal B'nei Bris Hu Shi'af Alpi Shechoto Yisrael Hu U'lechein Kishemumer B'bayis Ein Lema Kolon Yachad B'nei Bris Kidei Lohitzi B'chlal Labracha. Do not say B'nei Bris in order, because it's not going to work. V'ayin sham b'tzofnas paneach mashakosam bir dvorav. Next, b'sefer droshos michtav sefer kosa pamachas perach birchas hamazon bo echemen hachamen hachadoshim v'yaparkim l'beiso enapikoyres came into his home. V'omar kolonu yachad b'nei bris. A ma'isa shahaya, where indeed he said b'nei bris when it was napikoyres that was present. B'shut sholomeshiv kosa shim yesh mumalav l'zor b'beis birchas hamazon yochal loymar. Kulanu yachad. He holds you don't have to say in the Ensoch Lochaisa B'nei Bris, B'nei Sherabim, Hapoiskim, Shecholkim, Al Mogen Avram. Not everyone agrees with Mogen Avram that you should say B'nei Bris when you have an Apikoris in your presence. Rebbe Stechemed, Loi Ayin, B'shud, Minchas Yitzchok, Shekosam, Shekol Din, Ze Omerak, Mishkeshanochi, B'cheder, Bo Mavarech, Ulam, Imu B'cheder, Acher. But let's say he is in another room. So what is the bottom line? The bottom line is that if you are present at a meal and at this table you have non-Jews, if you are invited to attend the Seder of Obama, Obama makes a Seder every single year and is home for Pesach. And he invites people who are Shomrei Torah Mitzvos. And he does. Jack Lew, I think, wasn't he invited? I think he invites people who are Shomrei Torah Mitzvos. They come for the Seder. Not just the Hanukkah party, the Seder. He makes a Seder. Who was the first one to make a Seder? I think it was George Bush, right? Bush was the first one to make the Seder. There's a funny joke. When Obama was campaigning to president, the year before he became president, so he made a Seder. He had a lot of Jewish people who ran his campaign, and it was Pesach time, and they were working over Pesach, so he made a Seder. So they were teaching about the Seder is all about. So they came to end the Seder. The front people told him, now we say Lashana Haba Birushalayim. So Obama said Lashana Haba in the White House. It was the year before he became president. Okay, but the point over here is the halacha l'maaseh, if you're sitting by a table and there are non-Jews, we learn a halacha that you're supposed to say, instead of the nusach, Ken yivarech osanu kolonei chabrach ha'shalom v'nomar amen, you're supposed to say, Ken yivarech osanu b'nei bris.
So you're at a wedding and there's, a few hundred people.
Well, they're not sitting with you.
They're not sitting at your table. They're not sitting with you.
They're not participating.
Well, you mean your table.
Okay, if you're benching b'vas achas in one group,
Then
you're right. If you're benching in one group at Enochanami, that's right. So then if you're out, you do invite Goyim to the wedding. Not everyone invites Goyim. Some people have a hakpada. You have a hakpada bidavka not to invite a Goyim to a wedding. If you're Chas and Kala working and they have co-employees that are non-Jews and are very friendly with them, I mean, every year you go to a wedding, you very often see Goyim at a wedding. I went yesterday to the wedding. There were a lot of non-Jews at the wedding. Right. So then Enochinami. So they know there are people that hold that a wedding is not a place for Goyim. A wedding is a holy experience. Do you invite a Goy to come to Shachris? To come to Shul on Shabbos? You don't invite a Goy to come to Shul. Davening is davening. You want to go invite a politician to speak to the community? So you invite later on. You have a set time. You don't come and have them come during davening. Davening is a time to daven. You don't invite Goyim. There are many places that are very makbid. A Jewish wedding is a very holy thing. It's a very holy event. It represents the the connection. It's the between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A wedding is a dugma. Everything, the whole chasta is a dugma between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. It's not in the mitzvah, like by Chassidim, the mitzvah. What's a mitzvah tans? It represents a chiba between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. It's not a place for goyim to attend. You want to go and be good with the goyim. You want to go, so you make a meeting to give thanks. Or you see where Misaskim, they make meetings. They have baseball games, and you have meetings to give cover and praise them. Okay, that's not the minhag olam. I'm just telling you. But in Echanam, you're saying very good that if you go to a suda and at the suda the goy is present, we learn a halacha. You're not supposed to say ken yivarech chosanu kulanu yachab baruch Hashem v'namar amen. You don't want to include them in the bracha, so you say ken yivarech b'nei bris yachad b'vracha shleima. And the big dilemma that is unresolved that he has discussed and has cited many opinions is if you have at your presence a real apikoyres, not dealing with a tinik shenishva, a person that knows better, he was from in the beginning of his life, and he has chosen deliberately to leave Yiddishkeit, not because of taiva, but to be an apikoyres, and he is sitting at your table. Here is the big dilemma among all the poskim. What do you do now? Do you say ken yivarech chosanu b'nei bris kulonu yachab baruch Hashem v'namar amen? Is when you say b'nei bris, does that come to exclude an apikoyres? The Mogen Avraham says yes. Saying b'nei bris, you have accomplished the goal. You are excluding the apikoyres. However, he has cited here many other opinions that disagree that saying b'nei bris does not exclude an apikoyres. He is still part of the b'nei bris. He just has gone off the derech. And if we don't want him, you don't want to give him a bracha. You're not allowed to give him a bracha. What? Yeah, but not him. He is present. He is not part. You don't want to give him a bracha. He does not deserve a bracha because of his
connection between the grandchild and Avraham
Avinu. Okay, and so that's the machlokes. If you go and you say, if you have at your table an apikoyres, what should you do in this situation? This is not clear. Some hold you should say kuloniyak, you should say b'nei bris, and some hold don't say anything. Skip this part of the nusach. You don't want to include him in the bracha, so there's nothing you can actually say, and nothing you're going to say is going to solve the problem. So just skip this section of the part of the part.
Say it quietly. So
no, if you're saying it quietly, you're still including him in the bracha, even though you're saying it quietly. You can bench quietly. You pray. You're being mispalo to Hashem that everyone here in this room should be blessed. Really, do you want every person in this room to be blessed, and you want this apikoyres to be blessed? You're not allowed to bless him. You're not allowed to bless apikoyres. So what do? If you say b'nei bris, maybe that expression only excludes Gentiles. It does not exclude Jews, apostates. Does not exclude them. This is the dilemma between the Magen Avraham and all of the other Gedolei Yisrael. What is the bottom line?
I have a question.
Yes.
Mois Chame, you're sitting on a bus, you're wearing a yarmulke, and an elderly, say African American, gets on the bus.
That's not Mois Chame. That's a Kiddush Hashem. You're not
so
giving
him.
You're doing it. So by benching, they don't expect anything. They're coming. They don't even know what you're saying.
Benching.
No, that's not.
What are the guidelines between Kiddush Hashem and Mois Chame?
Well, yeah, every situation is different. If you are sitting at home and you want to send a donation to a church, right? You go you watch on television. There was a fire in a church. Oh, there's a fire in the church. Well, there's a collection, there's a hotline. You can send in a donation. Send in $18 to the church. To the church. And you, in California or Arizona, somewhere you don't know from nothing. You're not going to give them money.
Not like
them. It's Osir. Let's say it's
the church, but it's not.
What about the mailman?
We have Salvation Army.
It's a tip. You have to give him a tip. Yeah, absolutely.
Mailman usually begins with the Lord.
You're not going to give a matnas chinam, a gift for nothing. You're not allowed, as an Isser Deraisa, to give a guy something for free. If you get something in return, it's not free. If you're getting in return, it's a service. He's the mailman. Give him a tip. He'll be a better mailman. You'll have a good relationship with him. Or you don't want to have a sour relationship. Every time you see him in the street, coming down, he looks at you. You cheapo. You can't give me a tip. Everyone over here gives me a tip. You don't give me a tip. So there's a negative. So you're not giving him a tip in order to give nothing. You're giving him a tip in order to just maintain peaceful relations with him. That's not called lo sechanim. Or there's some type of midah, some type of expected minok when you go on a bus and an elderly person gets on the bus. This is min hanimos. It's a chil Hashem if you're not going to get up and give the seat to an elderly person.
Like that,
that's right.
If you're not a nice person,
what about if the church next door to the shul has is doing a building campaign? They're doing a building campaign. So maybe, in Echnam, according to many places, you have to give them money. You have to maintain good relations, and you just have to make it tonight. The money I'm giving is not is going. It's going to be for the coat room, or for the new bathroom, It's not going for the sanctuary. It's not going for the sanctuary. It's going what for the garden or for the paint outside. You're not so. Yes, it's not a joke. They do this. You have over here goyim in your community, and you're less, especially you live out of town, maybe New York. Everyone is for himself. But you go out of the metropolitan area, you go out of town, and you have a community, and there's a church, and there's a shul, and there's a reform synagogue, and it's a Chabad house. If you're not good to your neighbors, you're not going to survive. That's just the way it is. And when the church they make a party, they make an event,
you got to go.
You got to know how to play the rule. But you know, got to know the rules. What to do, what you're not allowed to do. And if they're making a building campaign, for a new church, the Orthodox members of the community, they're going to have to give money whether they like it or not. So the only thing is, they have to know how to give it. You don't give it for the sanctuary. You give it for the garden. You give it for whatever you're giving over here. So in Echnai here, the same situation where you're sitting by a table and the guy doesn't know what in the world. He said, "Now we're going to say grace. I'm going to recite it in Hebrew." He has no clue what you're saying. He doesn't know what you're saying over here. So now, by saying in the bracha, "Kein yivarech haysanu kulanu yachad bivracha shleinu v'neimar amen," he doesn't know what's going on. So it's, if you go to say this, it's purely a matnas chinam. You're giving him a gift. You're blessing him that he should be well and prosper. You're not allowed to do that.
What is this yivarech?
What?
I mean, it's very nice. I'm happy.
The Torah says this.
Works so well.
You remind me of the story that I told you where a person was in shul chakras. And the fellow, he wanted the shmek of mishabech for a chayla, and everyone was in a rush. Everyone was in a rush to go to work. And the person said, "No, you have to make a mishabech for the chayla." And he had another name. And the rabbi from all people, in the shul, he whispers to the guy next to him, "This guy, he really thinks it makes a difference." See, if I would say that, okay, big deal. The rabbi is the one who said that. The rabbi is making litzanis of the guy that wants to make a mishabach for the chayla, tircha de tzibura. You really think it's going to make a difference? Right? It's a sorry state of affairs. So the answer is, what?
He has to go for what, to make mishabach himself? He said, "Yeah, if you have a cold."
Even that, it doesn't make a difference. But the point is that we, unfortunately, if we would say we would have the proper emunah, it does make a difference. And if you have proper emunah, when you give the goy a bracha, "Ken yivarech hasan klon yachad bracha shem v'namar amen," it makes a difference. I'll tell you an amazing story. I'll tell you just a little bit.
The
story is
about people on Simchas Torah. Yeah. You know, they're given all these spark, all of the spark, about inviting what towns that invited goyim to Simchas Torah.
Still, sir. He has a chapter. There's a very popular sefer on the Minhagei Simchas Torah, and one of the chapters he devotes is to this topic of, is it proper to invite goyim to shul on Simchas Torah? It appears that there were communities that they did. It was part of the routine. On Simchas Torah, they invited the mayor, they invited all of the secular, there was a big event, it was like a public event, Simchas Torah. You bedafka bring the goyim into the Beis HaKnesses on Simchas Torah. Some do, some don't. Now, just you reminded me, last night I went to, they had in Torah V'das Hespedim for Rabbi Belsky, Zechet Sanik Levracha. And Rabbi Eisen, he said over an amazing story of Rabbi Belsky. He says there was a fellow that came to Rabbi Belsky, and he said that there was he was involved in some type of transaction, some type of business, and it's a shayla of tohus akum, and it's many thousands of dollars. The guy made a mistake, and there's no way in the world they're going to realize what the mistake is in this transaction, and it's a lot of money, and I'm very happy. I need the money. I just want to make sure, I want to run it by you, am I allowed to take the money, keep the money for myself? So Rabelsky said to him, Me'ikar hadin toho sakum is mutter, it's mutter, it's Shulchan Aruch, but the Be'er Heitev, there's a Be'er Heitev, and he read to Malpeh, maybe it was Malpeh, he read to him, the Be'er Heitev says as follows. He says that if you give back the money, even though Me'ikar hadin toho sakum is mutter, if you give back the money to the guy, you reveal it was a mistake, it will, you'll be zoicha to have parnos, Hashem will make it up to you, ad kidei kach, you'll leave over money, b'yerusha, to your children. It's a very strange expression from the, I think it's the Be'er Heitev. I think what he said, one more time. He told the fellow, me'ikar hadin, you don't have to give back the money, but the Be'er Heitev says, if it's tolosakam, give back the money, and by giving back the money, you'll be zoicha to a bracha, you're not going to lose. Hashem will make up the money to you in another way. Not only will He make up the money to you in another way, you'll have left over from that money that you'll be zoicha to bequeath money to your yorshim, to your children, to your descendants. So he told, so I don't know if he told this to the person or he told this to someone else. The reason why I emphasized this Be'er Heitev and I read him what it says there is because I know this fellow has been married for many years and doesn't have children. So I see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving this person the opportunity to have a zechus to fulfill the Be'er Heitev. So indirectly, he'll have parnasa, and the halach, it says in the Be'er Heitev, he'll have yarshim, he'll leave all the money to the yarshim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving this man an opportunity to have children by being mekayim what it says in the Be'er Heitev. That's what I'm asking. And kachava, he listened happily ever after, and he had children. It's an amazing story. And the person, Rabbi Eisen, who spoke, Rabbi Eisen was the one who said this over, Rabbi Eisen, last night. He says, and the way he does, he says, the emunah pshuta he had in the halacha. Like, it says in the Be'er Heitev, if you give money to sakum, you give it back, you leave over to your yarshim. If you can leave over to your yarshim, you have to have yarshim. But if you don't have yarshim, so we have a technical problem. Hashem has no choice but to give you children in order to mekayim what the halacha says. Emunah pshuta. It's a meridic story. Yeah?
I took out cash. I go home and it's $200 extra.
$200 extra, wow.
$200 extra. And the machine was
spitting out money.
Anyways, so I went back the next day and I took it back. I went to the bank. So he came with me to the teller.
Yeah.
He fired her. All night they were looking at the Jewish teller.
Not ATM. The teller, you're saying.
The teller. The teller. No, he counted it with the machine.
Oh.
He had the machine to count. So the machine made that toy. It's not her.
Yeah.
Anyways, the whole night they were looking to.
Where's the money?
Anyways, they fired her. I took her to work for me.
Really?
No, she was working for many years.
Oh, wow, that's a good story. I like that.
Wow, you have mamish from the Maya of Gedolah.
I took it back.
Yeah.
Not
that she get fired.
Not to get fired, but that's what it is.
Wow.
And she was timing that. I didn't count it.
The machine counted. It's not her fault. Wow, what a story. Whew. Okay, let's go further. New sugya, another sugya. Nisuin shnayim im isha shashma kishem harishayna. A man, he wants to have a second wife. Not only does he want a second wife, the second wife has the same name as the first wife.
Second wife has the same name.
Now, I told you wrong. I mean, not at the same time. Okay, I gotta get a little carried away here. Not at the same time. Okay, let's take it back. Not at the same, one after the other. Okay, let's make the matter simpler.
Divorce
or died? How about murder?
That's rabble, Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry.
You You know, I told you this joke. A woman was married 60 years. They asked her, the 60 years you were married, did you ever think about divorce? The 60 years of marriage? So she said on the spot, never. Never did I think about divorce. Murder? Okay, let's go. Mitzavos Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid Kosav Em Yeish Lo Adam Yisha Umesa Rachman Lutzlan His wife daughter Lo Yisa Acheresh Hashma Keshem Rishayna. Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid says the second wife should not have the same name as the first wife. Oy Imes Baal Leish, if the husband died and the woman wants to remarry, Lo Tikach Baal Shashma Keshem HaRishayna. Why? Ki Yachshu Ach HaRishayna, because you're going to think about the first spouse, and that's not good. It's not good. It's not healthy for a marriage when you're thinking about your previous spouse. If you do this, he says it's not going to be good. One of them is going to die prematurely. Scary stuff.
People
don't change
their name.
They add a name. It could be. Okay, it could be. I don't know people mock on this.
Two names.
Okay, so this is very interesting. They'll be thinking about the first spouse. Next. Beshut. Betzel ha-chochma nishal she-ha-mishna b'sugim shamru l'hoylosh n'ashnaya hoylosh she-nosh in the middle of years the person has two wives u'shmoseyem shavois. How can you say this halacha? A person has two wives and they have the same name, and he goes to the sofer and he tells the sofer, listen, write a get. This is my name, this is my wife's name, and listen, I'll decide tomorrow which one I want to divorce. So the Gemara says it's not a kosher get because it's lacking in l'shma. You have to know which one you want to divorce. But for the Maisa, from the story of the Gemara, it's clear as day that you had the guy is married bivas achas. Worse than our case, the guy is married in one shot to marry to two wives that have exactly the same name. So better than our Gemara, lisa shtei nashim shesh mosem shavos ve'ein lo alacha shashivoy hashemus yigrim loy litein ena b'shnia. So if you can marry bivas achas to two wives that have exactly the same name, malachas kam v'kama, you can be married to two wives in the same name, b'zeach hazeh. Kol she'enai b'zeach hazeh, afilu v'asach ha'seinai. The Heshif. What is the answer? She'en ze kushy klal she'achin bevaday gam b'shtei nashim also la'lishtois b'kois zo v'litin ena b'kois acheres ach mikomoka muta lisa shtei nashim v'ein l'chosho shlo yishloit beruchoy v'tia daitei al hashni. In other words, what he's saying over here is it's pas b'saloi. It's pas b'saloi. If you have two wives, you're not thinking about the other because I have the other. You're only longing for what you don't have. So if you have two wives, I think it's better. If you have two wives with the same name, it's not so bad.
He's allowed to think of the second one. It's a mutaloi.
Okay, fine. Okay, it's mutaloi or well, whatever. Fine, but it's not an esoyon. When you have something, it's no big deal. The only problem is when you lack, when you don't have it, is when you long for it. If one wife died, so then when they have a second wife, you're thinking about the wife that you don't have. But when they're both present, you don't have this problem. It's also mutter. If you want to be with her, you can be with her. Think about one isha. Pass pesalai, bread in the basket. Uchemuvur b'gemara. Shenida muteris biyichud mikavan sheyesh lachetev v'chein nisim shulchan aruch. V'rak boifin shemeis is only in the case where the isha died. Oy shagir shashuv u'monem inera v'chein mitzah neskar shemibalo b'zeh dana b'gemara b'inyan deyos b'mita. Or when a husband divorced her, maybe ask charata. Why did I divorce her? It wasn't such a good idea. And then it's a psychological halacha. It's a murder of psychology that a person's always longing for what you don't have. even if you chose not to have it, you always long when you don't have, and therefore you,
why would that only be dependent upon if they have the same name? That could be
because when you call the person by the name subconsciously, it's subliminal. Subconsciously, when you call the person by their name, you're reminded, I used to call this name to the first wife. I was married 10 years, and I.
He had a very wicked longing. That was a very tight relationship with his first wife, and she died, and then he remarries a few years later.
The first wife. That's what the Gemara is saying.
A
different name. That you can't help. A different name you can't help. But the same name, it's more prone to bring up the thoughts of the first wife. Four people. If two people were, if both man and wife were divorced.
Listen and learn, Yanki. You're a cool young man.
You're getting a real. You're getting a real education here. Dalid Deos Bemita. So Gemara. Dalid Deos Bemita. A divorced couple, both spouses have been previously married. So it says there are four people. Two is a crowd, three is a company, and what is four? Four is a nightmare. Okay. Next, let's go further.
Now we have the other one. Can't you see Jesus?
Vihine. Okay, next page. Page 2. Vihine. Vihine. Let's finish up this halacha. Vihine. B'seifa shulchan o'ezer. Histapek im dinoi shel harokeach hu rak balmono oigam begrusha. He has a doubt of this halacha that you're not allowed to have the chayit ha-chassid or the rokeach says the same exact thing. It's only when it's an almono oigam begrusha. Maybe only by an almono are you going to think of the first spouse. But when it comes to a grusha, got rid of her. Good riddance. Good riddance. I'm freed from this nightmare. No. This restriction only applies to a widow. Does not apply to a gurusha. A gurusha, you're happy to separate. So therefore, you're not going to think about that person anymore. There is no prohibition. He disagrees with the entire premise of the Sefer HaChassidim. You don't find any mikar for such a thing. The second wife cannot have the name of the first wife. Only a good hanhaga. The heavy sham uvda shabita shalagorim kiv egem moras serul aleha shalom. Eishes rabenu Moshe bal hachasam sefer. Hoysa nesub zivig rishon lehagoyin of Avraham Moshe. So his second wife, the daughter of Rabbi Kiva Eger, was married, was the wife of the Chasam Sofer. Rabbeinu Moshe Bal Chasam Sofer. Hoysa nesub zivig rishon lehagoyin Rabbi Avraham Moshe was married Abez and Pila. So look at that. She was married. She, this woman, the wife, the daughter of Rabbi Akiva Eger's daughter, Rabbi Akiva Eger's daughter,
married.
Was married to the Chasam Sofer, Zivug Sheni. Zivug Sheni. What was the Chasam Sofer's first name? Moshe. Yes. Toras Moshe. What was this woman's first husband's name? Also Moshe. Also Moshe.
She died young.
She died young. The second wife, who?
This wife, she
also died, but she was married to two Moshes.
So, all right,
Rabbi Akiva Eger, but they let her do it. Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Chasam Sofer let her do it. So here you have a Maisa Shahaya, a woman who was married, daughter of a very great Talmud Chacham, was married to two very great Talmidei Chacham, and they permitted this. Because those people, they had two names. The Chasam Sofer's name, what was the Chasam Sofer's name? The Chasam Sofer was Moshe, and the first one was Avraham Moshe.
Uh-huh.
Avraham Moshe. Excellent. So it's not a good example.
No.
Even though his second name, her first husband's name was Avraham Moshe, not just Stam Moshe, so it's not a raya. Oid heviu she'elu hanoyagim shelo likro l'isha b'shmo l'ish b'shmo. Also being a raya she'elu hanoyagim shelo likro l'isha b'shmo l'ish b'shmo. What does that mean? Vavadai ein lochosh bezeh. Sometimes you don't call your wife and your husband by their name. What? Honey or Tati. Many, there are many, they obviously, you ever go to a house where they have little children?
Yes.
If you call, if the husband and wife, they call each other by mommy and tati. It's very, very common. Why? Because if you call your husband, you call your husband by his first name, then the kids call the husband by his calling. So they end up calling each other by mommy, tati, and then when they get older, the kids get married, they don't talk to each other altogether. They don't talk to each other, so they never call each other by their name. They never call. I remember. I wasn't there, but someone used to tell me that there was a certain Rosh Hashiva that used to have a lot of Talmidim in the house, and he did not. I don't know why he did not like calling his wife by her first name in the presence of the Talmidim. I don't know why.
Right.
He didn't want to call her he's not going to call her.
He calls his wife Surala. Everyone's going to call her Surala.
Okay, so it was very, always very awkward when he wanted to call his wife. He needed something in the presence of his Talmidim, how he would refer to her. Vadai in, so therefore, if you have such a situation where the husband and wife, even if they have the same exact names, so then as long as they're not in the custom of calling each other by their first names, because they have a house full of children or whatever the situation is, you can come up with your own situation where they very rarely, if ever, call each other by their first names. So then the whole issue is moot. The Odayin Bishut Haradvaz Bishut B'Salachachm of Mishnah Halachas. Okay, so the bottom line over here is we have a new halacha from the Chassam Sefer. The spouses calling each the second Zivik Sheni and these issues of the same name. Shaila does only apply to an Almana, does it apply to a Grusha? A Shaila does it apply if there's a second name, Avraham Moshe versus Moshe, and all the various scenarios where you're not anyway calling each other by their name, and then you have the other person that say that this thing you don't have anywhere in the Gemara, you don't have any Makar for this, this is a Chumrah, it's a Hanhaga, but you don't have to be Makbet on these things, this is not meant for the average person who is from Yudah HaChassid. And then we have this psychological inyan, is that there's a difference between Bezeh Achar Zeh and Bivas Achas. Even though the Gemara clearly says that a man is married to two wives that have the same name, that's not a Kasha on this Shaila, because there, if you're married, the two women with the same name, they're both mutter, you're not going to have an issue of shtei deil spimita or dala deil spimita. It's only when the person is no longer here, and then you're longing, you think back to what was. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll take a short break.